This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
Hi, welcome to Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two of the Checkpoint team get intimate on a certain subject. My name is Hayley McKay, and I'm joined this week by...
Elliot.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to introduce yourself.
I've never introduced myself ever, but I like that I got to have the opportunity.
Well, there you go.
How are we doing, Hayley?
We're doing pretty all right. How are you doing today, Elliot?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm psyched. I'm ready to talk about cheat codes.
Cheat codes?
Do you know why?
I think I do.
Actually, I should have a... My voice is too energetic and...
Oh, you want to bring it in low and
I need
slow.
Well, I need to bring it down because actually something sad has happened this week, which is kind of the reason we're talking about this.
Yeah, you can't tell sound too happy when it comes to death.
No, exactly, because a person within the video game industry has died, and their contribution is quite an interesting one. We're talking about, and I'm sorry if I butchered this name, Kazuhisa Hashimoto. No. That's my best attempt, if you want to try.
Kazuhisa Hashimoto.
Thank you, Hayley. Who is the person who invented the Konami Code, which is super interesting because, for those unaware, the Konami Code is massive in video games. This is something that started way back in the days of Contra and has been fleshed out and referenced and used in so many video games. And we're probably going to start listing them later in the show.
It's something that's pretty much been a part of gaming for almost as long as gaming's been around.
It's been a part of gaming since I remember what gaming was in my personal life.
Back in the ye olde days.
Ye olde days. But yeah, so we want to have a quick chat about, you know, not only the Konami Code, but cheat codes in general, their place within video games today, and kind of reflecting back on the impact the Konami Code had for video games altogether. Do you remember playing, specifically you, a video game that contained the Konami cheat code? Or, here's a better question, without looking at the monitor, do you remember what the Konami code is?
Up, down, left, right, A, B, start?
It's something very similar, but
oh, no,
not
it's up,
quite.
Down, up, down, left, right, right, A, B, start?
It's actually up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start.
I got so close.
You were very, very close. And I totally commend you for that because you did not look at this prior to the show like I did.
Yeah, I've come in blind.
Yeah, like love getting blind on a weekend.
Oh, God.
So, unfortunately, the inventor of the Konami Code has passed away, but his legacy will remain in video games forever. I'm going to start listing some games.
Yeah, go ahead.
That this has come in. The Gradius series, the Contra series, the Castlevania series, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series, Dance Dance Revolution, and Metal Gear, and a whole bunch of other Konami games all contain the Konami Code. Now, they're just first-party Konami Code games.
Now, here's the thing. I can understand some of those, it being in some of those games. What the heck is it doing in Metal Gear and Castlevania?
It's just, I mean, that's the thing. Back in the day, cheat codes, like, they could be in any game. It didn't matter. They were just these codes you input and it alters something or enters cheat mode or whatever. It sets some parameter that wasn't intended to be played in the normal way and instead plays you in this new way.
Like the mobile phone in, like, GDA, where you just, like, enter it and suddenly you've got a giant head.
Exactly. 100%. And big head mode is a big one for video games.
Oh, bring back big head mode. Everyone loves big head.
Other games that it has been in include stuff like Batman Returns, Crisis Force, Frogger. I honestly, if I were to actually list this, we'd be here forever. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, Konami Code has been entered into so many different games and...
Like, even games that aren't Konami, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Like, there's a whole series and franchises of games, and the Konami Code is referenced so freaking often that it's basically an Easter egg in almost every single game out there.
Yeah, like, it shows up in Bioshock Infinite. That's how, like, prolific this game is.
Good. I mean, I want it to show up in as many games as physically possible because it's an icon of video gaming now.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what how often... Oh, God. How often did you used to play using cheat codes like the Konami code versus how often you play with cheat codes now, today?
As a kid, I mean, I never really had a lot of time to play video games.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I had too much time to play video games. Scratch that. And because I normally... I was a, you know, only child growing up. So, I would have to...
We can edit that.
Cool. So, after a while, playing games just the normal way, quotation marks, would get boring. So, eventually, I would just, like, find little cheat codes and stuff and enter them in and make the game a little more fun or unlock something that I maybe wouldn't have seen before. I think there were, like, weird codes for Sonic and Bubsy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
Bubsy. What a terrible franchise. And so, like, it would be like, okay, here's something cool and stuff. And, you know, it's video games. There are no real life stakes. So cheating really didn't matter. And nowadays, I use cheat because I don't have as much time to play video games. You know, I'm the modern working woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be the modern working woman doing all the uni study and the job and the whatever else, writing for the website and stuff like that. So when I play a game, I don't normally get as much time to sit down and play it. So if there's any way I can, like, do a little bit of shortcuts, just circumnavigate some stuff, maybe especially if it's a game I've already played.
Yeah.
Like, something I've played, like, a billion times.
I mean, that's a classic, right? Usually, yeah. I mean, that's how my approach to a lot of games. I'll be like, the first playthrough was vanilla, exactly what the developer intended, and then after that, it's all in, like, mods, cheat codes, whatever I can find. I'll change it up in whatever way I possibly can, because why not? It's fun. Video games are silly and fun, and you may as well have fun using them.
I mean, like, there are instances where you shouldn't use them, and I have used them in this way when I really shouldn't have, like when you're doing like an online playthrough with a friend. I'm not happy. No, I am ashamed. I am ashamed to admit I may have used cheat code or cheat engine for Borderlands 2 when playing through with
didn't
someone
even know I could, that was a thing.
Yeah, it is. When playing through with my brother, and that's something I possibly shouldn't have done, but like I didn't have the time that he has.
I mean, you're only ruining things for your brother, and I feel like brothers are fair games
when it
comes to ruining things.
Yeah, essentially.
If you were playing like an online multiplayer game for poor random people who had no idea what's going on and you're downloading aim hacks or whatever,
that's
a different story.
Yeah. And as someone you know, it's like, yeah, I don't have like the billions of hours that you have to sit down and play a video game, so I'm just going to like skin in a gun that is, you know, just as good as what you've got because you've been grinding, and then we'll go from there. Which is what I did. And, like, I got...
I think that's valid.
No end of shit for that one.
Is this a cheat code, though, or is this something...
It's like a cheat engine thing, like a separate program.
I don't even know what a cheat engine
is. It's like a save editor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like that's something different altogether. Yeah.
Possibly. It's still, I feel like that's technically cheating.
Oh, absolutely. It's more than just cheating.
Oh, yeah. I took it that one step further, ladies and gentlemen, and those in between. I took it too far. I played God. Mm-hmm. Or goddess in this time, case. Mm.
But yeah, I definitely remember back in the day, cheat codes were a big thing. Mm. I think they're not anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is there.
I think like basically because of the rise of the internet and stuff like that, I think it's the assumption that if players want to cheat, they'll mod it in themselves.
Yeah.
Like the Witcher franchise, I had no patience to go through, and I wanted to play through Witcher 1 through 3.
But
I had no patience to deal with Witcher 1 and its terrible, terrible gameplay grind.
That would be a hard game to go back to today.
Yeah, essentially. So I went back to it and I was just like, I had no patience for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. It was like basically click to fight nonsense bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on Mod Nexus and I modded in a couple of like cheat modes and stuff like that. And went on from there. And now, I mean, I still gave up. I'm going to be honest. I still gave up on Witcher 1. I just eventually just jumped straight into Witcher 3. I was like, the Witcher series is coming out. I want to play this game. I want to see how it stacks up to the series. Let's just go on from there. So I eventually did give up on Witcher 1, but it still, like, it still kind of made that process easier. I still got further than I would just trying to play vanilla.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And look, cheat codes are these things that potentially can prolong a game for a lot of people. I mean, if I reflect on my childhood, I remember using cheat codes a lot in GoldenEye 64, for instance, just because they were so silly. And they were basically what modifiers are today. You know, if you jump into a game and there are modifiers as options, and you go in and you can change certain elements.
Like, you find the skulls in Halo or something, and they add, like, extra modes. Yeah, those were, like, cheats you entered.
Exactly.
Back in the day.
But I feel like game design has changed now, where cheat codes are no longer utilized, because even if I go back, even before GoldenEye, I remember playing on my Sega a game, Epic Mickey something something, whatever.
Say that word again?
What? Sega?
Sega! Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, that's how you're Sega. Supposed to pronounce it. No, I'm better than Sega. I say it Sega. I'm above the Sega peasants.
Okay.
But yeah, there was some kind of Mickey Mouse style game, and man, I was a kid at this point,
I think
so don't.
Mickey and the Thousand Mirrors or something like that?
I have no idea, honestly. Don't test me, but I remember the game didn't have save files in the normal way games would these days. And to go back to a level, you literally needed to enter the cheat code to push yourself. Rather than starting the game from the beginning all over again, you needed to enter the cheat code to jump you to a further level within the game. And the way you unlock those cheat codes is to beat the game up until that point, and it kind of reveals the cheat code that you can enter.
I remember a lot of those games had something similar.
And this was a way games handled a lack of functionality that games have today. So it's no wonder that there are games, or games as a whole, are less likely to rely on cheat codes than they used to in the past.
But yeah, they're kind of superfluous.
Yeah, a little bit.
But like, and also, I'd like to see them make a comeback.
Even just looking at this list in front of us, of all these games that contain the Konami code, I think what you'll find is cheat codes, they exist, but they exist in a different way now. They're often just references, little Easter eggs, things that aren't really there for you to cheat the game. They're there for you to kind of find and enjoy for a moment and then move on, because they're not really changing the gameplay experience much. They're just presenting you with a little reference or an Easter egg that is fun once you discover it, but you can move on from pretty quickly.
And I find it funny sometimes when, like, developers will put in, like, a cheat mode or a debug menu, and then they'll get upset when players use it. It's like Bethesda. It's like, don't leave your debug mode in the game as if you don't expect people to use it. Like,
The funny thing is, and I don't know if this is the reason Bethesda did leave debug menus in, but on the PC, at the very least, I ran into and this is, I think, Fallout 3 I remember doing this in, but you could open up that kind of developer console and type in, like, noclip, for instance, which allowed your character to basically fly through the air and had no collision with any of the terrain. And I would use that on occasion, because I was allowed to, but B, because my character would literally get wedged within the terrain and I couldn't do anything. And so part of me is like, I wonder if Bethesda deliberately left that in as an option for players because they anticipated a bug going wrong.
Because they kind of know that their system is a little bit garbage.
Yeah, a little bit buggy.
And that at this point, every time they release a new game with the same engine, the same patches for mods come out, like, within, like, a couple of minutes of the game's launch. It's like, we know, the community knows they're going to have to patch their shit.
It's a thing. I'm not going to pretend like it's not a thing. But yes, quite possibly Bethesda could utilize cheat codes as a way to get around glitches that occur within their game.
No, they use it as a way to get around being good devs.
Brutal. Damn.
I should point out that my views are not reflective of the views of Checkpoint as a whole.
Or society at large.
Yeah, society at large.
But the cheat code, do we miss it? Does that matter? Have we moved on?
I think, like, considering this is, especially with the Konami code, this is something people have had tattooed on their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that potentially it's still nostalgic for. There's still nostalgia for that. And I think, even GTA 5 still has cheat codes in a way. If I remember correctly,
it does, yeah.
Like, big head mode and that stuff like that.
That wouldn't surprise me.
So, I think there's still room for it, but the form in which they take, whether they're community generated or put in by the developers, is going to be like dependent from game to game.
I wonder if part of it is the developers almost taking their art too seriously, kind of thing. It's like, oh no, I'm making this masterpiece. I can't just like put in a cheat code for players because, you know, that'll ruin the kind of atmosphere and tonality that I'm building here. And I think that's somewhat valid for sure, but also maybe, you know, we've got to remember that games are just silly and fun a lot of the times, and it's okay to have things like cheat codes. I don't think they ruin an experience.
At the end of the day, you know, games are... There's an inherent ridiculousness to video games that you can never get over. as serious as a game may take itself, you're never going to get past that part that this is you moving a bunch of polygons on the screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to just kind of embrace it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, so I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
I'm sad, Haley.
We can't be silly on recording anymore. Thank you so much for joining me today, Elliot.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, I'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.